Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Legacy Leaders Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Jack Perry again with Legacy Leader Radio here in Midtown Atlanta. I've got a very special show for you today. I've got a room full of young folks here all the way from 15 to 23 years of age. We're going to find out what's going on in the world today through the mind of a young adult. We've got some very talented, very, very talented people in the studio. But before we get rolling with that, I would just like to reintroduce my fantastic co-host and co-producer is Mike. Say hello to the gang, Mike.
How's it going, Jack? It's been a while, man.
Yeah, we've been busy, haven't we?
You've been Charleston back. I actually went to Vegas. That was a total drag.
Yeah, I bet it was. Yeah, and we have somebody special in the studio with you today. Yeah, Who is that?
My kid sister's back from college. She's interning with me today.
Okay, great, great. Glad to have you here. Okay, and I do Legacy Leader Radio, ladies and gentlemen, because I like to identify people in the community, young and adult, who do great things to help other people in the community, raise them up, and to bring positive messages to those people that may not be doing so well. And I have the privilege today of having some great, great young adults in here. I've got with me today, I have Hannah, I have Will, Bree, and Zach. And, of course, we have Mike's here, and we have Donnie. And Donnie is the youth pastor from Dogwood Church in Great Peachtree City, Georgia. So, welcome, everybody.
Great to be here.
Okay. Now, this is where, guys, you can talk into the microphones and say, hey, Jack. Okay. Hey, Jack. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. Very good. And Bree?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Will?
Spectacular.
All right. Now, Hannah, come on, honey. You want to over here and talk into the mic?
There you go.
I'm okay. Doing fantastic.
Yes, and I know Hannah's dad very well, so I know if she doesn't get her time, he's going to give me a tough time about this today. So I know
he'll
that.
Probably thank you for shutting me up.
Okay. All right, Jay, I did not prompt her to say that. Zach, we're going to start off with you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank
okay.
you.
Zach, tell us about yourself, where you're from, and what's your passion? What do you like to do? What's your favorite thing to do?
Well, I'm 15 years old. I'm from Sharpsburg, Georgia, and I love to fly planes.
Really?
Anything with aviation.
Really? Where did you learn that passion?
From my dad. He's a pilot, and so I learned it from him.
Good, good. Good deal. Thank you. Bree, tell us a little about yourself.
All right. Well, I'm Bree Castaneda. I'm 16 years old from Sharpsburg, Georgia as well. And I have a big passion for working with both people, specifically children, as well as animals. So I'd like to definitely go into a field that, you know, does that, maybe like a pediatric animal assisted therapy or something.
Oh, cool.
So that's something that I've always enjoyed doing and hope to keep doing.
Good, but, good. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. Brother Will, talk to me.
How are you?
Good.
Well, my name is William Richardson. Like he said, I'm 17. And what I'm most passionate about, without a doubt, music and everything. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4", and I play a lot of sports, so you wouldn't really think that. But I would say I'm more of like a dreamer, you know. I want to be a professional musician as I grow up. It's what I want to do. It's what I love, and I feel you can truly change the world through music.
What's your instrument?
I actually play piano and everything.
Okay.
But my main thing that I like to produce is actually it's kind of like weirder. Everything, I guess you could say, more I like to do club music and different stuff like that.
Okay.
Where I would love to travel Europe and just different stuff and continue producing and playing at different places all around the world.
Okay. Techno or
more
dubstep?
Two-step?
I'm not a dubstep guy. Uh-huh. Everything. I'm more of a thing called house music. Everything.
Okay.
It's always been my passion. It's always been for multiple years as I've grown up. It's been what I love to do.
Okay, good.
And everything's been a part of me. So
okay, all right. Sister Hannah.
My name is Hannah Vineyard. I'm 23 from Fairburn, Georgia. The thing I'm passionate, I work at Dogwood Church. The thing I'm most passionate about besides the students at Dogwood are my dogs.
Your dogs. Okay. What do you do at Dogwood?
I am the administrative assistant to the students and the minister to girls.
Okay. And so with that said, I'm assuming there's probably a very robust, strong program at Dogwood Church that deals with young adults and teens. Is that correct?
It is the best you'll find in the area.
Really? And I wonder who runs that.
It would be my wonderful boss who is sitting on your right.
Brother Donnie. Yes. Donnie, tell us a little about what you do at Dogwood and why you're here today.
Wow. Well, thank you for that one because I was just thinking she was going to say God or something, the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, here we go. My name's Donnie. I'm the student pastor there at Dogwood Church. We are here, brought some students here to speak some life up inside of this station about what they go through. Yeah. As students, some things that are very important to them. Mm-hmm. We, with Zach and Bree and Will, this is just a touch of our student ministry there at Dogwood Church. Okay. So we're just here playing the radio station game, and this is my life right here.
Okay.
Our students.
How many students total do we have, Donnie, at Dogwood?
During the program? On an average day, we'll have about 130 students and adults, our small group leaders. The big thing with us at Dogwood is we want to be student-led, so we try to train the students to pick up the mantle and actually be involved instead of just sitting back and, listening to everything. So we do a lot of training with some of our older students, and we want them to be leaders of today. I don't think they're the future of tomorrow. I think they're the future of today, right now.
Very good.
They can make a change right this very moment, and that's what we're just trying to do and adding in to them the gospel and just sharing, the truth of the Lord and being able to do life with the Lord, but life, every day with wherever they're at.
Zach, at 15 years of age, you're the youngest member of the group that's in the studio today. If I was to ask you the question, what has been your biggest challenge in your life so far? Would you be able to answer that? Do you have any idea? And if you're going to pause on that for a while, you can, and we can ask somebody else. But as a 15-year-old young man, what has been some of your biggest challenges?
I would probably say school and maybe peer pressure from friends and staying on the right track. But school is definitely a big factor in that role.
Tell me more about the peer pressure. We won't leave out any names or anything like that here. And how tough is the peer pressure for you at times?
At times it can be pretty hard to withstand it and to be able to stay away from stuff that they're pressuring you into doing. But with the Lord and good guidance, you can pull it off.
Where'd the tools that you learned to avoid that peer pressure, where'd you get that from? Where did you think you learned that from?
My parents definitely. The way that they've been guiding me through life and giving me advice.
Bree, how about yourself?
I would agree that peer pressure is probably a big challenge. And being a teenager, you're always trying to fit in with the crowd. And, you don't want to be the one that, sticks out like a sore thumb. That's not always easy. But I would say that when you do stand up for what you believe and you do kind of go against the crowd, it's definitely one of the most rewarding things you'll ever experience. So.
Do you ever find that when you do go against the crowd and you fight the peer pressure, do you find that there are people that would actually come up to you behind the scenes and say, hey, you know what? That was pretty gutsy of you, and I applaud you for doing that. Do you ever have that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, several times in my life, more than not, I've probably gone with the crowd, and, I look back on that, I wish I would have done the opposite, because the times that I do go against what other people are doing, I do have people come up. I mean, I've spoken in front of my church before several years back, and that was something that I was so nervous to do. And, I was literally just trying my hardest to resent doing that. But it was just something that I felt called to do. And, I would regret not doing it. So when I did it, I literally had people come up to me afterwards and thank me for the things that I said. And before I even went up there, I didn't know what I was going to say. So it was all there provided for me. So it was a great experience for sure.
Well, good. Thank you for sharing that with us. Brother Will.
Nice. Okay. So the biggest challenge I've ever had to overcome everything, I would say probably two. I would say the first one that they both said is actually peer pressure. And in all honesty, it really is true, where there's so many different people you can talk to, you can fit in with. But when you find that one person or just that small group of friends that you truly can stick with. They're not going to like make you do anything that you don't want to do. They know sure. you inside and out. Then that is something that you should always stick with. And I found that with my bro and everything. His name's Aiden O'Connell and everything. He's been the leading light through my life and everything. And I've realized that I have a lot of friends, but there's nobody like as close as him, where you go back and you can be with any other people and they'll tell you to do this or this or just whatever.
Yeah.
But if you were with him, if I was with him, I would know that he wouldn't force that upon me. He would know like what I want and everything. And you'd know that just if you can find that one friend, trust me, it's the greatest thing you can ever have in your life. And I would say the second challenge, without a doubt, is finding what you truly love in life.
Yeah, everything. And
that's a harder one. It took me a good while to find it. But like I was saying earlier, my true love is music.
Yeah.
And I feel when you find out what you truly love in life, you know that without a doubt, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, let me ask you this. That's a great insight, and that shows a lot of maturity on your part and all of you. So, how would you talk to another teen or a young adult that's looking for that and says, I need to find my voice, need to find my passion, my direction in life. What would you say to them, you know, to help them, to guide them? Either one of you, any of you guys, what would you say to them?
I would say, the way you'd put it, I would actually say the answer is actually quite easy. I would say that the thing that you should follow is what you always go back to. That no matter what that you go through in life, if you always are going back to this one thing, I don't know what it is. It could be anything. Like Bree was saying, she loves animals. She loves working with people.
Yeah, good point.
And everything. Every time you go back to that, it may be like unconsciously and you don't realize that you're doing it.
Yeah.
But that ends up being what you truly love. And I realized that every single thing throughout life, whatever it was, I was always going back to music.
Yeah. Do you ever fight that? And all of a sudden, I've had that happen to me. I would fight that feeling, and then but something always seems to bring me
right.
back to it. And sometimes it's like a baseball bat upside the head, and you mm-hmm. go, okay, I gotcha.
Right.
All right, this is where right. this is.
I can empathize with that. When I was y'all's age, I was doing it's called KMTV. It was a TV station through Kennesaw Mountain, which is where I went to school,
mm-hmm.
and so I was doing that, but I was also doing athletic training and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I always loved doing the video. We do sketch and sketches and that kind of stuff, just skits and just, you know, whatever you really wanted to do. As long as it was appropriate, it would go on the closed circuit or on, they had a small cable channel that we worked with also. And I pursued pre-med my first 2.5 years out of college. And I was just sitting in chemistry class and I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
And I was in Chem 2 for the second time, and I was like, all right, I'm done.
Right.
So I actually withdrew from the class, changed my major back to multimedia production,
mm-hmm.
and started doing that again. And you're right, when you get back into the thing that you really like doing, it's just like totally different world of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Hannah.
I think my most challenging thing so far is just relationships in college, whether that was interpersonal with roommates or romantic, just learning how to be an adult about things.
Any stories?
We're supposed to be adults.
Sounds bad.
My sophomore year of college, roommates were making decisions that I didn't agree with, bringing stuff into the room that I didn't want. So through a month of avoiding them, I eventually moved out and had to sever those friendships.
Okay.
So that was probably one of the toughest things I've had to go through.
Okay. All right. When you're talking about things that bring you back, I was to Zach earlier about flying. Ever since I was a little boy, I remember seeing the Thunderbirds fly. I was a little kid. And I remember standing out in front of my parents' house as a little boy, and I remember seeing the Thunderbirds going around, and I said, and I had an expletive that I used, and I said, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to fly. But I didn't know quite how it was going to happen, what it was going to look like. And so over my time, over time, growing up as in my adolescence and as a teen, I always wanted to fly, aviation. I would study books, study maps and everything, you know, and all of a sudden, a higher power said, guess what? An opportunity right. came up, and all of a sudden I was on my way to flight school. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. All of a sudden I was on my way to flight school. So I believe you attract into your life what occupies you the most, what you want the most, and that's what you attract. You know, I see a lot of shaking the heads here. Talk to me, guys. Am I on the right track? Yeah, no, you definitely. Know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Wow, that's a good one. That's a good one. What keeps you guys awake at night? What keeps you awake at night?
I got a good one.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Besides
your phone.
Besides social media.
Netflix.
Right. Netflix.
Was, yeah.
Yeah. I think you know what I'm talking about. What would you, what concerns you the most at your age right now and about the future or where you're at right now?
I got a good answer for that, actually. Where I'll probably like, you'll notice a pattern with me. I'm going to talk a lot about my future and just.
That's okay. And everything. That's all like right. That. No problem.
Where I noticed where. You'll sit at night, and because we're 17, we're teenagers. We're not technically adults yet, but we're so close. And I'm 17 now. I'm going to be an adult next year.
Mm-hmm.
And soon enough, I'm going to be up on my own.
The game changes when you turn 18.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different aspects, and you're thinking, I'm slowly losing. I'm clinging on to the life that I have now. But sooner or later, it's all going to drastically change. I'm not going to have my parents around. I'm not going to have everything that I have now. It's going to change. And I got to realize, and you got to focus on and look that, hey, this future, it's not going to be what it is right now. It's not what you're living right now isn't going to be your life, that it's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to sit there and think, what's my future going to be like? You got to sit there and constantly, for me personally, is just sit there. I'll sit there in bed and just think, what do I need to do to progress myself? What do I need to do to make sure that I'll be able to survive in this world? You know, just continue looking at your future, because I am 17, and sooner or later, I'm going to have to realize that, hey, my future is going to hit me faster than I could realize.
That's going to keep you up for a couple more years. I'm hearing
that.
A few more.
Just a few.
But getting a handle on it is important. Bree, what about yourself?
Yeah, I think kind of going on what Will said, like, you know, you're really just thinking about your future, but as well as in the literal sense, like what you're going to be doing in the future. But I also think about, you know, kind of what we talked about earlier, whether you're going to wake up in the morning, you know, just another person, you know, blending into the world, or are you going to wake up in the morning and be someone different who can make a change? I think that's one thing that I kind of think back on. You know, you think about your previous days, your regrets, the things that you could have changed, what you want to do for the next day, the next week, the next 10 years, just kind of how you want to live your life, and the person that you want to be, really. But
how about having a plan?
A plan?
Yeah, any of you guys. Yeah. How about having a, what does having a plan look like?
Especially for you, Zach. I mean, how are you? You're saying that you want to fly. Now, your dad's a pilot. We won't name the names where he flies out. It's not good. But what is your plan? What, and that's the whole point. What are you going to do to get to the point of flying by yourself one day?
Well, definitely got to stay focused in school, because if you don't keep the grades up, you don't get to go up. So and then
that's a good one. Grades up, get up.
I like it.
Yeah,
totally true. They don't let idiots fly planes.
Well,
most of the time, no, they don't. No comment on it. So that, and just staying clean and not getting in trouble, you know, as in driving. Don't get points on your license, because the airlines are looking at that, and keeping clean off the social media, because they look for that too.
Very smart.
So just staying smart throughout the rest of the years.
Have you thought about going into the Air Force Academy in college or anything like that?
I have thought about going ROTC and
going
through that route, but still trying to figure it out.
My dad's an airline pilot, and he started in the Air Force, and he went to the Air Force Academy. It's funny that you said you always knew you wanted to fly, Jack, because we watched old home videos that my dad took when he was, like, young.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was the one holding the camera, because, you know, he looks up, and now there's a plane, a small plane up there. So he knew what he always wanted to
do. Oh, look, something shiny.
Which is, I think it's rare, but I think for most people, but it's common for pilots, that they always kind of know what they want to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's smart that you know the grades, you know that if you want to go to the academy, you got to you know, letter in a varsity sport to make sure you know he did javelin, you know, so just so he could check it off and say that I did it. You know, just make sure if you do want to be a pilot, another great way to get the hours in instead of, you know, flying, you know, one of those puddle jumpers in the airlines, you know, you get the hours in the Air Force, something like that, and then when you go to the airlines, you can get on a bigger plane and that kind of stuff. Yeah, so just make sure that you look into all that. I'm not saying you haven't, but I definitely encourage you to look at all the options if you're doing it, because there are a lot.
It's a great accomplishment. We used to call it the pressure cooker, you know, once you people walk in and you look stable and you look normal.
Yeah.
And a year after flight school, you go, oh my gosh, what was that? what happened to me? You know, but it's definitely worth it. A plan, like I said, you know, and Donnie asked Zach about his plan. What would it look like to have a plan for your life?
That's a good one.
Hannah,
go for it.
I didn't have a plan when I was in high school.
Okay. All right. Well, come on. Talk to us about it.
My plan was always to go to college and get my MRS degree. But as I went into college, I went in thinking I wanted to be one thing, a nurse, and then I realized how much science that required.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. That's all right. It happens. Okay.
If you know what you want to do, if you know what you're passionate about, I would say just find something that you can do that you're passionate about, even if it doesn't make you a lot of money. And just because you want to be happy.
You got to love what you do.
You got to love what you do.
You want to wake up in the morning and have something to go towards.
Mm-hmm. I find that, and I've learned this over the years, especially what I do, is that if you follow your passion, you're very passionate about it, and you're just doggone good at it, the money's going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because people will look at you and go, man, I want something what she's got. Where'd that come from? And then it will start to follow you. Go ahead.
What's interesting about a plan is I was in high school, you know, 3 years ago, and I wanted to be a Division I student athlete in college. So I set all my goals and went to all the soccer camps and everything, and I got a scholarship to play at Western Carolina University, and I still play at Western Carolina. But I noticed that I had a plan to go to Western. I was going to major in motion picture and television productions, and I was going to be a Hollywood director. That was my plan. And it's interesting to see how you can still follow that plan, but how your goals kind of change. Like, you know, you'll do different things, and you'll be inspired in different ways, and your path isn't a narrow straight line. It's a zigzag. I mean, it's a roller coaster. You go up, mm-hmm. you go down, you turn left, you turn right, and there's no set way to get there. And so one of the things I do, you mentioned in how you stay up at night, is I adopted this thing where I'll look at the date. And so like today is April 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, okay, April 18th of last year, what was I doing? And did I predict everything to happen that's happened from then till now? In a good way and in a bad way. And just kind of looking at it from like the change of just 1 year, and then you can kind of like zoom out and be like, okay, and the change of like 3 years. Okay, now looking 5 years behind and then 5 years ahead. So kind of like looking at a plan. I mean, God's changed my plan a lot. So
yeah,
you can't mm-hmm. predict that, mm-hmm. but it's interesting to see how it's influenced your life in just like 1 year. So it's a really cool thing to kind of like look back and be like, oh, you know, last year I didn't know I was going to be in the studio with an interview, you know, like I had no idea.
Yeah,
so it's just a really cool thing to kind of like look back. I mean, good and bad. So just a little thing.
Well, it's just kind of like you've got something that you know you're wanting to do at a young age, mm-hmm. and you keep stressing towards that, what's going to end up happening, change happens.
Right.
It's kind of like a chisel. It's kind of like a chiseling out a statue. The it's still there. It just is going to look different, because when we think about flying, for Zach, for instance, or working with animals, it might not be working exactly what we think we're going to do now. But when we look back, it's doing the same thing that we wanted, but our passion's more passionate towards that than what the broader scope was.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I got an agreement.
Score one
and
right there.
And it's going to be same, so you can, anytime you need my agreement, you can just play it back over and over and over.
Yes, because we can cut
this
up.
I'll send you the clip.
Thank you.
I got
That's
you.
What I need. Thank you.
Oh, my. That was an aha moment. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I found from college, and this is what I tell everyone who's, you know, planning their life or all that kind of stuff. You know, I had a plan too. We always do. But the biggest thing is it's never too late, and don't be afraid to change your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
So when I changed my major, I was halfway through my junior year. And so, I mean, that was pretty late in the game to change your mind. And, right. and you know, I even after that, I changed my mind again, you know, after I got out of college. So, you know, people don't have one career. I mean, pilots are kind of an exception, but have one career for the rest of their life. They kind of, they jump around. So, you know, follow what you're passionate about, you know, pay attention to what you think God wants you to do. And, you know, just have the kind of guts to, you know, get out of the boat.
Well, let me ask you this, guys, anybody, when you're in the, you're in that zone, you're being passionate about what you're doing. What does it look like to you? How does time look to you? How does your day look to you? Yeah.
I think one thing is, like, when you're doing things that you're passionate about and you know, career-wise, especially when you're doing the things that you love, it's not work. It, you know, it doesn't become work. You're not doing this to just, you can get paid to do something and provide for your family or go buy something that you want to buy. It's not work necessarily. It's, you're doing something that you enjoy and you have a heart to do. So I think that's important in doing what you're passionate about.
Let me throw this out there, guys. What about somebody else, say a parent or a peer, that says, no, you should go do this?
Yeah.
They should on you. They telling you, no. Why would you want to do that? Do this. This is what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. What's your response?
That.
Come on, guys. Anybody?
I got a good one.
Zach, you're shaking your head here. You're going nuts over here, Zach. You got something to say? Come on, man.
Listen, your mom and dad are not listening. They don't know how to operate the internet, okay? They don't know how to operate the internet.
How do we know you didn't
know? Talk to me. Now's your time to say something without them saying back.
Yeah.
So, come on. What do you do if somebody says to you, especially peers?
Yeah.
And you know what? As an adult, so I get that now. People say, why on earth would you want to do that? And you go, because what? Come on, guys.
I love it, yeah.
Because, yeah. Everything where with music and everything personally where I want to be a professional. I know it's kind of weird, but I want to be a professional DJ and producer.
Well, listen, first of all, I don't think it's kind of weird. Right. Nobody here would think that's kind of weird. Okay. Nobody here judges you. That's
okay.
Good. It's all
well,
cool.
Thank you for that. But there's so many people where you look at that, there's so many different DJs and producers in the world.
Yeah.
Everything. There's so many people out there who are like, hey, I'm going to do this. But most people, like my parents in particular, and even my friends, they told me, like, look, this is a crazy dream. It really is. This is a far-fetched, like, idea that it's going to be, even in your wildest dreams, it's going to be exceedingly hard to achieve.
Yeah.
And so why don't you sit there and try and achieve something that's more practical, something where you know that it's more fundamental, that you can actually create money and that you'll actually be able to survive in this world. But what they're not getting is, even though you can survive in this world or like make be better, more support, have a better foundation with that job, it may not be who you are.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to that fact, that is a game changer.
Okay.
When you realize that it doesn't matter what job or what it is that you're doing, even if it's crazy or far-fetched, anything, whatever it is, if it's you, if it's what you love, then you do it.
If I can just, so am I seeing that there is definitely a generational change or different type of opinion of view based on generation of what you should do this because it makes money versus what you should do because of your what's in your heart and your passion? Am I seeing a generational change there? Is a
I think part of that fear, Jack,
yeah.
In our age, when I say our age, I'm just a shy younger. I'm 2 years younger than you are.
Well, go ahead and put that. Go ahead and put that on the table.
Aren't you in your mid-40s? You're in your mid-40s. Here, yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think for parents today, especially with what's going on in our economy, they're going, you may not be able to survive in a few years.
Right.
So you do need that money to where our parents was, hey, yeah, get a good job, do that, but you've got to love what you do. And I think the shift has made has come about because we're able to remember where we were, and it has changed in the last 20 years of my life. I'm looking back. I can remember my first cell phone was a lot bigger than this. I remember wearing pagers. I remember my first camcorder had a big old box that we split apart from two boxes and put it in a bag and Zach, I never rolled the camera. Yeah. If y'all could see Zach, I don't know if you're gonna come back.
If you could be in the studio right now, you'd see a lot of hand and arm signals going on here.
I think that just that whole look is, we are trying to get our students to be. Every generation says I want my children to be better than what I was. Yeah. That's across the board.
Yeah. Right.
But I think one of the things that we might miss out on though. Is still mom and dad still knows and they're smart. They've been there. They've done that. So it's not as much. And Will, I do go with you and say, yeah, but it's got to be what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Do take that small leap and keep doing that and and be willing to change. But still, you've got to realize that if let's just play that God role, we have to be in center. We have to honor our parents. We have to honor authority. And that is difficult for teenagers today to do that. I remember when I was the same way.
Yep.
However, you've got to listen to your parents. They do have great advice. Now, do I know parents that just their advice was horrible? Absolutely. And it still was a struggle for me to look at that teenager and say, don't do it. If it's going to harm you, don't do it. But I think more than anything, you will find your parents will support what you want to do, even if it doesn't bring money in. However, they just want you to be the best you can.
Be the best you can.
It is important because, you know, today, I don't know, Jack, I'm trying to think, you know, $35,000, $40,000 right now seems like a lot, and it is if you're single. So, you know, Hannah goes,
what was Hannah? Did you have something?
Not when you went to a private school and you have loans.
Oh, there you go.
Gotcha.
Oh, I thought Dad said, oh, wait a minute. There is another thing I tell you about your dad, but I can't do that because
Jay's going to pay those off anyway, right? Yeah.
Jay's got it taken care of.
Okay. Like, guys, let me ask you this. Let me ask you something. Who has influenced you the most? Who has, I know parents are very important, but let's see, outside of mom and dad right now, who has been somebody that's very in public figure that has been very impactful upon your life? Somebody that, the go-to, it's been very impactful on your life.
I would say, I mean, in all, the people you surround yourself are going to be the people that, the people you surround yourself with are going to be the people that influence you the most. And, you know, if you're with a crowd that's not doing the right things, it's just going to be that much harder to do the right thing. So you're going to typically go along with what they do. And so that being said, I think, you know, the people that you bring closest to you, like what Will was saying earlier, those people that you make your go-tos and your the people that you can abide in and trust are the people that, you know, are really the most influential to you in the best ways. I have, you know, really just a select few friends that I know who I can trust and just really talk to about anything. And they'll guide me whether or not, you know, they don't want to tell me things that I want to hear. They'll tell me the things that I need to hear.
Good point.
I think that's something that everybody needs because we can all hear what we want to hear, though that's what the world gives us. But when you have people who you can really trust and look up to, you know, they'll guide you along the right way and they'll, you know, they'll point you in the right direction. And I really enjoy that in my small little group of friends that I have who I know can do that for me.
So. Okay. How about yourself, Zach?
I don't
influence you the most.
Well, I do have a friend and she is basically living what I would love to live someday.
Okay.
She's very smart. She's a pilot. She has her own plane. She's super nice, super godly, honors her mother and father. I mean, she's great. Just a really great friend.
Good. Sounds very close.
She's pretty close.
Okay.
You could say that.
Brother Will.
Okay, I got one. This is going to be like not expected, but actually my dad and everything where if he's out there listening right now, my dad, he was going to be an astronaut and everything. That's what he had planned to be and everything. That had always been his dream and what he felt like that was what he'd wanted to do. But there's something I'm not really sure how to put it, but when you follow like what God wants you to do, you end up realizing his true plan for you and what you're truly made to do. And my dad, I'd say about 27 years ago, instead of being an astronaut, he decided to go ahead and become a missionary. And he went for it. And over those 27 years, he amassed a mass amount of knowledge that I wish I could have right now. But because
of
that,
a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's not even the word.
It's ridiculous. But with all of that knowledge, he was able to put together a book that he's writing right now. That I honestly can't explain that book correctly, but the way I look at it and I read it, it's definitely going to change the world.
What's the subject, may I ask?
It's basically it's being able to bring God into almost anything in the entire world.
Okay.
Where there's literally nothing that I've found yet that hasn't worked before that hasn't worked to be able to decide if this is godly or not.
Okay.
And when you actually look at it, it's actually really spectacular and it's incredible. But the point I'm trying to make here is when you realize and you follow what God's plan is for you, it really does bring a whole new aspect to your life. And with me personally, I knew that creating music was what God wanted me to do with my life. And
very good.
I didn't really think of it that much at first. I started off my life just continuing, going as like what I wanted to do. Like I was the leader and everything. Like I'm going to do what I need to do. But I didn't realize that if I put God first, there's so much change that he can make. And then I actually did it. I actually put God first in my life. And the amount of change he brought in the year or two that I put him first is more than the amount of change I made in about maybe the 3 or 4 years that I was leading. And with that point made, I realized that when you actually do follow God and whatever is planned, he has a plan for every single person. Like my dad personally, it took him 27 years to figure out what it was. Me, it took me about maybe two. But there's a plan for every single person, and you really got to do, you got to look within yourself. You got to look at your life, every fundamental, every aspect, and until you can find out what it truly is.
Yeah.
But when you find it, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's a very, very big aha moment in your life when you do that. Hannah?
I think my sister inspires me the most. Even though she's younger, she still acts like she's the oldest.
And she is. By chance, what's her name again?
Her name is Kara.
Hi, Kara.
Kara's 19. But she inspires me because everywhere she goes, she just radiates God's love. You can just look at her and know that there's something different about her. And then her selflessness, because she spends most of her breaks from school in Haiti.
And she just got back.
She just got back from a Saturday. Trip,
yes. She actually led it all by herself. She led the team. Absolutely. Yeah.
There were two teams down at the house that she lives at when she's down there, and she led one, and then the director of the house led the other. So just her love for God and her selflessness.
Yeah. Great mentor. It's all right. It's okay. All right. Let's change gears for a second. Let's talk about social media. Yeah, all righty. Tell me, guys. All right. Hurtful, helpful, working for you, what? Tell me about social media. What's the deal with social media now? Tweeting, texting while driving. Okay, all right. It's a no-no. So come on, talk to me. Social media, helping us or hurting us? Come on, what's going on here?
I think both. I mean, I have a friend, one of my really close friends, actually, who every day she sends out a Bible verse to an enormous group of people. And that's just, you know, it's very uplifting to get that every morning and just have that to start your day. And, you know, she never fails to do that, really. And so I think
does, she'll apologize.
Oh, my gosh. She'll apologize to you like 30 times.
I'm sorry. I should have said that already, but here you go.
Yeah. Right. And she's genuinely sorry about it. And so I think in that way, it's great. You know, I've put out a couple of verses before. People respond to it in, you know, great ways. But at the same time, I think a lot of social media gives us a standard of what to be in the world. And
expand on that, please. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can just, on Facebook even, or on Twitter, people put out there what they want you to see. They don't post out there, oh my gosh, here's a picture of me with no makeup. Oh my gosh, I'm having they don't typically put things out there that they don't want the world
real
to
stuff?
See. Yeah, right. Exactly. They don't put anything beyond what's external, really.
Yeah.
And so even on Instagram, you get on there and you see these pictures of celebrities and models, and it's just really an expectation of what you should be. And really nobody can attain that, you know, it's all just staged and
okay.
So I think it is hurtful in that way, because really not many people can get to that level that the world is expecting you to be, and that it makes those expectations that you really as who you are can't attain, because that's not who we all are.
That's great insight. Where did you come to that revelation, or how'd that come about?
I mean, just in personal experiences, you know, I mean, even I'll catch myself posting things on Instagram, like that's just what I want people to see. You know, I'm not, by posting things, letting people know, you know, who I truly am. And I'll be scrolling through my feed and it's just like, you know, such, I don't want to say fakeness because, but it almost is, you know, it's just kind of what people want you to see.
So what's popular now? Is it Facebook still a thing? Is it Instagram? I'm getting nose here.
Instagram.
Come on.
Instagram.
What is it? Is Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Is
okay.
Out the window.
Okay. Facebook's out the window.
Facebook's still in for me.
Is it?
Okay. Some people.
Okay.
I haven't used it. But.
We have dueling Facebook. Okay. All right. So I'm hearing Instagram is it. And go ahead. Go ahead, Hannah.
I was going to say that I've been told by our kid, by our students, that they aren't on Facebook because parents are.
Good. That's
ever rebelling.
I love that. I love it. So get off the Facebook because mom and dads are there. So we're all going to go someplace else. Okay, good, right. Good.
And
so
then Instagram. It is dangerous. I will say, she just brought up a point. Mm-hmm. Students are going to a lot more stuff. And I'm not going to call out the actual apps and the different things that they can get on. But I've got an article sitting in front of me.
Sure,
there are seven apps that are very dangerous, and we don't think that they're dangerous. Matter of fact, Snapchat.
Snapchat's extremely dangerous.
I can say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can we're say, not on the radio.
You
we're
can
on
say,
the internet.
You can
no,
say,
it's fine.
You can say whatever's on there. What does it? What are they for the guests?
Well, this is seven dangerous apps that parents need to know about, and I'm sorry, I'm going to call it out.
That's okay. No, I want to know.
Here we go.
But one of the
Kick. I bet Kick's on there.
Absolutely. It is. One of them is Kick Messenger. But one of them is it's Yik Yak.
Yik Yak.
Yeah. Oh, we got some noises over here.
I don't know.
Well, that's a good. I'm glad you haven't heard of it because
that is
awful. It determines your GPS tracking. Ooh. So people can track exactly where you are. Why do you not want to do that? You don't want somebody to nab you.
No.
Your location's
or no, you're not home and break into your house.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of dangerous stuff. Snapchat. Snapchat is where you can take a snap of yourself.
Yeah.
Send it to somebody, and in 5 seconds, it disappears. However, students don't realize, they think that it cannot get brought back up. But if you know what you're doing, it can be pulled back up.
Oh, okay.
What you're having is you're having sexting going on. You're having things going on that you never want anybody else to see, but you want someone to see for just a moment, and boom, there it is, and it disappears.
What's on the internet? It lives there forever. I mean, you can close your
absolutely.
Facebook account, Twitter account, and think you deleted it all, and then go, I'll start another one, and it pulls you right back up, and it's just the way you left it.
Right. Okay. All right. What else you got, Donnie?
Kick Messenger. This is the one that Mike was mentioning about. This is an app that a lot of under 18-year-old students are using, and it's – there's no way that a parent can they claim that a parent cannot get inside of it and
what's
check out what's going on. Kick Messenger, KIK.
Okay.
The good thing is we don't have a ton of students listening. We've got a lot of parents and leaders.
Oh, trust me,
the world.
It'll go.
Parents need to check that out.
Is Tinder on there?
Is what?
Tinder?
No.
Mike, you seem to know a little bit too much about this. What's
I've never heard of any of this.
I have a little sister.
You got a little sister? Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, what else you got on
there? The biggest issue that we can sit and look at is the danger that you're putting yourself in with sexual predators, with people being able to follow you and find out where you're at, whether if it's really stealing from you or literally kidnapping. One thing that we do not realize, and a lot of people don't know this, that sitting in Atlanta, Georgia, is this in the United States, Atlanta, Georgia is the biggest city for sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Yep.
However, we're number two in the whole world. That's a big deal.
Wow.
And as sad as it is, Buckhead area is the biggest point in Atlanta. Right here in amongst where everybody's at, and a lot of it happens right here. Major deal. So when you're dealing with some of these messengers, people are following you. People are trying to pay attention to you. Just had a story this past week that I read of a friend. She was in a grocery store here in town, and a guy was looking at her. You know, wasn't shady looking, good looking guy and all that, but he just kept looking and everything. And as she's walking, trying to get away from him, in the little post that she placed, made the statement that he goes, "Hey, you're gonna like this one." And come to find out, she looked at him and she said, "I know what you're doing." And he ran out and jumped in a carload of guys. And the whole thing is they're predators. Mm-hmm. They're following around, going to walk out to the grocery. We've got to pay attention. These are our students.
Yes. Yeah.
These are our kids. This is our future. This is our today. They've got to pay attention to what's going on. So Kick Messenger is one of those things that they can, be easily followed. Poof.
Give me some more.
Poof, I'm really not understanding what poof is. Do you know about poof?
No,
I'm
negative.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, see, it's a good thing, but it's out there. So maybe it just hasn't come into Atlanta or whatever. But it's hidden. It's hidden. You can hide it. You can. It's an opportunity that people can't really see that you have it. You're able to say things on some of these. I think even one of these, you can say what you want and no holds barred. You know, cussing, anything, and it's, you're not going to get in trouble through it. So there's a lot of social media issues that we have, and this is just the beginning. Horizon is huge that is going to be happening, good and bad.
So hey, Donnie.
What else has got on there?
There's one called Omegy. It started back in 2008, 2009. You can put it to your Facebook chat or to your Facebook. You can chat with people with similar interests that they have. But part of that with the Facebook, you'll receive likes and stuff, but it's a lot of strangers can get into it. A lot of people that you cannot get into it.
I think the biggest thing here, I mean, there's always going to be another app or another way for you to do something you shouldn't be doing. I think for parents, it isn't necessarily hiding it all from their kids and like making them so they can't get on social media. It's teaching them how to be smart with it and
be responsible with it.
Yeah, it's responsible internet. Yeah, I mean, because the internet, I mean, it's not going away and it's only going to get bigger and badder, right? So I think it's just knowing how to navigate.
Give me two more, Don.
All right, this one right here is Whisper. Okay. I think it's mostly up north, but Whisper is an opportunity that when you text, it shows you within a mile that you are in. And the closer you get, it kind of shows where you are. And matter of fact, this is saying that there was a man in Washington that was convicted of raping a 12-year-old girl who followed her from this one app.
Wow. Okay.
So it's pretty dangerous. The other one's Down. Honestly, have never heard Down, but it's in other words, it's called being called Bang with Friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected to the Facebook.
Right.
So it's a way for you to be able to hook up without people knowing and secret.
Yeah, we don't want those.
No.
No, right. We don't want those.
No.
Hey, I had a question. I don't know if it's on there, but what about, I know on like my Apple iPhone, and I know on any most Apple products, a thing called location services.
Yeah.
Everything. I was thinking that where I know personally I turned it off just because of that, but I've seen so many times on like Facebook or something like that, people will take a picture on their iOS device and everything, and then it shows if you click it, it will show exactly where they took that picture.
Yeah.
And if they took it at home, boom, instantly you know where they live.
Now, I have to say the students. If you've got a tracker for your mom and dad and they can turn on and know where your location is, you need to keep it on. Don't find a way to turn that off. Mm-hmm. That is a huge bonus for mom and dad.
Right. Yeah. Very important. Brain burner. Guys, we're getting close to the top of the hour, but I want to get back a little bit on track here. And Don, I appreciate that because I think that's like a public service announcement to me for putting that out there. So I appreciate that. Guys, I want to ask you as we get close to the top of the hour here, what does an effective or a legacy leader look like to you? A leader. What does a leader, an effective or a legacy leader look like to you?
I would do a person who follows their morals.
Okay.
Or morals. I would do a person where there's so many people where they'll do something, but it goes against their morals, but they'll do it to fit in. And honestly, I feel that a true leader should sit there and take what they truly believe is right and stick by that 100%.
Okay. All right. Bree, tell me what you think a good, effective, or legacy leader would be or look like in your mind.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Will on what he said. And also kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier with, you know, good friends, I think it should be someone who does tell you what you need to hear versus what you want to hear because, you know, a leader of, say the country, say your church, say, you know, really any leader can tell you the things that you want to hear, and that's satisfying. But to be a good leader, to leave any legacy, to make any change, they do need to tell you the things that the people want to hear, because sometimes that's convicting or sometimes it's challenging and not necessarily what you want to hear. But to build your better character and to grow as a person, you need that conviction and need that challenge. So
Zach, what does a legacy leader look like to you?
I think it's someone who earns his respect by respecting others, someone who's not too controlling or
very good,
uses his power for no good, somebody who listens to who he's leading, and just someone who's strong and can make the right choices and uses a good reference for those choices, not just by himself, but, you know, a Christian leader would use the Bible as his reference, which is probably the best reference you can use.
Yeah. Very good. I like that. That's good. That's a good. Hannah.
I'm big on servant leadership. So if
okay.
there's a leader that doesn't want to do something and just kind of shuffles it off, not going to get a lot of respect from me. But if he is willing to go in there and, you know, pick up trash, even though he might be the mayor of the city,
yeah.
that earns a lot of points and
mm-hmm.
humility.
Helps me
yeah.
looks up to him.
Humility yeah. is very important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. An effective, yeah, a good effective leader. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Mike.
She hit the nail on the head for me and Jenny. We were both talking about this. We had Mark Miller in, and great leaders serve.
Yeah.
It's the service, yeah. and it's got to come from the right place, too. I think people follow with the leader the motivation more than the actual, you know, just the pomp and circumstance kind of stuff for
yeah.
me.
Well, if I put out the question to you all, what does it mean to find your voice? What does that mean to you? If I say find your voice and shout it out to the world, what does that mean to you? Find your voice and shout it out to the world.
I would go finding your voice. I would put doing kind of building on what I said last time, but your voice is who you are. It really is. Yeah. It really truly is. Your voice should be what you feel is right and what you like. What you would want other people to do for you, you should do. Where I feel okay. your voice is something that you would stand by wholeheartedly.
Okay. Okay. Find your voice. Got it? Anybody?
I think it's more than who you are so much as whose you are
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Like, you know, who do you serve? I mean, even leaders right. serve somebody or something. That's so it, I think it goes back to more of who do I choose to emulate? That's your voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, finding your voice is finding, for me, it's finding that deeper spirit within you that it's there so deep and so down inside that you've got to get it out. You got to get that message
right.
out. You've got to shout it to the world. And even when you have naysayers or people around you that say, no, that's crazy, you said, but you know what? You got to do it. You just got to do it. Radical. I like to use the word radical thinking people, mm-hmm. radical. And, you know, people who, no matter what, the most, and I've said this before in the show, some of the most radical thinking people in the world are the ones that cause the greatest changes in our right. lives. You know, Jesus Christ was a radical thinking thinker, I yeah. think, you know, at that time, and he changed the world. Nelson Mandela, mm-hmm. Mahatma Gandhi, you know, a lot of great people who are radical thinking people. They found their voice and shared it with the world, and they've changed the world, you know, and Martin Luther King and mm-hmm. Michelangelo and all kinds of crazy ideas, but they changed the world in which we're in. Anybody else? Any thoughts on that?
I think just as, you know, hearing you talk kind of brought about the thoughts that when you find your voice, it's really doing what it was you were designed to be
mm-hmm.
or designed to do. Because I think when it's your voice in the sense of like as a human being, what you want to do, it's not that we're trying to find. But for me, like my voice, you know, is I find through the Holy Spirit. So I allow it to become his okay. voice versus my own. When I spoke in front of the church, like I was talking about earlier, that, you know, that's not something I wanted to do, but it was my calling. It was my voice, but in the sense that it was his voice. And so that's just kind of a thought on that. But
and if you want to hear Bree, two Sundays from now, Bree will be at the 100 building on World Drive speaking to the Dollywood students.
That's the first I've heard of it, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, that was the first. Okay. Yeah. Right here live on radio.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
so. Thank you, Donnie.
Hey.
My pleasure.
Okay. So, guys, if I was to ask you right now, if you were to walk in an auditorium and there's 1,000 teenagers in there ready to graduate from high school and they're ready to walk across the stage, what would you want them to know? What is it that about you that you'd say, you know what, this is what I got out of this experience? What would you want them to know? What final thoughts would you leave with them?
I'd go, that's actually pretty easy for me. It's just find what you love. It's so simple to say, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. Where you sit there and for any teenager, I don't care who they are, any person in the world, I feel that when you find your true love or what you're supposed to do, you will be the happiest person in your life. Because you can work any job, and I forget what they're saying is, but if you work a job that you make money at but you hate it, you've never truly lived.
Yep.
Where you sit there and you find a job that is like, hey, this is me, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and I can do this wholeheartedly. I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. Then at that point, then you found yourself, and I feel that's one of the greatest compliments you can achieve as a person, as a human being.
Okay. Anybody else?
Just kind of going along with what he said, for an example.
Will?
Yeah, Will. what Will said, even like just on the way to school the other day, my mom was talking to me about, like, we were talking about career choices and things like that. But she was saying that in college, she was majoring in psychology, and people would just constantly come up to her and say, you're not going to make any money doing psychology, but but that's what she loved doing. And throughout her field, she just made incredible impact on people. And I think that's what matters, is making an impact and doing what you love and not necessarily just doing something to do it or make money.
Service to others.
For
sure. To me, it's service to others. Anybody? Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to take career out of this because I think career is almost symptomatic in nature. Find out who you want to be and find out who you want to serve foremost, what you stand for, and then find someone that is like-minded in that with you. Find a partner, and, you know, I'm talking about
a good
that you get
accountability
married,
partner.
Even like when you go to get married, that's the second most important decision you're ever going to make.
Yeah.
So find someone, you know, truly like-minded and equally yoked in everything, or at least the big things. And then, you know, that because at some point you're going to get to a stage where you have to make ends meet and do things that you don't love doing, but because you have to.
Yeah.
But if it aligns with what you believe in and what your partner believes in, then you are going to have a happy life.
Yeah. Right.
Very good. Anybody else?
I think that once you find what you want to do and you love to do, to tell someone about it, I mean, if you tell your parents, of course, if they're good parents, they're going to want to be on board with you and help you as much as you can.
Very good.
And just follow their guidance, because in Exodus 20:12 it says, honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So if you honor your mother and father and you follow their guidance, good things will come to you, which probably will mean that in what you love will eventually happen. Your dream will eventually come true.
Very good. Thank you. One final question. If I was to ask you, what song would you tell me represents who you are, what would that song be? So here comes Zach.
Y'all were listening to Zach, a lot of music on the way
Zach's,
over here.
Zach is walking into a room, and he said, okay, here comes Zach. We're going to play a song. Zach, what would you want us to play for you?
I have no idea
right now. Okay, we're going to go around the room here. So, okay. All right.
I got one.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm probably guessing that most people out there wouldn't even know this song because it's a Jeremiah House song.
Give it.
But it's actually, it's called Times Are Getting Hard. It's the intro version by an artist named Coon. But you listen to it, and it actually has words to it. It actually has lyrics to it. And when you actually listen to that song, basically the whole thing that it's saying, like the main message of the song is saying that even though the times are getting hard, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to continue on.
Very good. Anybody else? What's your theme song?
Oh, you got 3 minutes. You got to find
something. Man, we're not going anywhere.
Jack, why don't you go ahead and tell them yours?
I like the theme music by Epica. It's from Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. If you ever listen to that music and turn it up loud on your headphones, if you're having a bad day or a low day, put your headphones on and crank that sucker up, you know, and you can't help but be happy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to rock this. Whatever's coming, I'm going to rock it. I mean, Jack Sparrow rocks.
Right.
I mean, that's the deal. Go ahead. I've seen some. What's your song?
It's kind of tricky. I'm a big Need to Breathe band. I love Need to Breathe. So I would have to say they came out with a new song. Their album just came out, and it's called The Heart.
Oh.
And it just talks about living in the present and appreciating things that, you know, just little things in life and the people around you and the blessings and how small they may seem, but how big of an impact they really have.
Right.
That's very good. I like that. Come on, around the room.
All right. I just got to go with this one. I'm just going to show you my age. The greatest basketball player ever. in my opinion, let me just stress that, is Scottie Pippen from the Chicago Bulls.
Okay. All right.
Michael Jordan would not be Michael Jordan without Scottie Pippen.
Batman wouldn't be Batman without Robin.
That's right. But the Chicago Bulls came every time, entered the court by the Alan Parsons Project, Cirrus. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Good. Okay. All right.
Sister
Hannah.
All I can think of is Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne. Thanks to Chipper Jones.
Some Beastie Boys stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's pretty good.
Good deal.
Mike, I want to hear yours again.
Mine's always Good Vibrations by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Gotta feel it. Come on. Okay. That's right. Because they're contagious, man.
Okay. Zach, do we have anything yet?
I would probably say it's called Una Una Seis by Lecrae.
Okay.
Because what he's referring to is Romans 1:16, which basically says that I'm not ashamed of who I am. So. Okay.
Right. Bree.
I don't know. One song that I really have enjoyed a lot lately is Oceans by Hillsong United.
Okay, good deal.
That just, it hits the spot for me. Good.
Students are going to all these little sweet godly stays.
No, to be honest, like, I'm not just trying to play the God
Crazy
King
Train.
All right, okay, guys. I love you all. You guys have been fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give a shout-out to my mom down in Tucson, Arizona, and all the fine folks down here in Peachtree City, Georgia, and all these great people from Dogwood Church have come into the studio today, and, of course, into Mike and his lovely sister. Thank you for being here and co-hosting and co-hosting with us today.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
And listen, ladies and gentlemen, you've been fantastic. Please stay in contact, legacyleaderradio.com. Give me a holler. I love you all. Thank you all. And we are out of here.